people on the patio at 7 o'clock today.
For three decades, Ruth Gresser has been providing people in the Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, that's hopeful.
A friendly face and a tasty meal at Pizza Paradiso.
Many of us got into this business because of a passion for food and a passion for hospitality, nurturing and caretaking and bringing joy.
But the virus has ravaged the restaurant industry, and this mainstay is no exception.
In March, everything changed, and in the course of 10 minutes, we went from a staff of 170 to a staff of about 25.
Here you are.
Overnight, Pizza Paradiso became a delivery-only business. Gresser started handing out free pizza to anyone in need. But for a woman who for years has been mentoring other women in food, doing outreach in her community, and considers her staff her family, this was the hardest thing she says she's been through.
There's been a lot of loss over the last, I've lost count of the months. I've had personal loss. A death in the family because of COVID. I've lost a lot of long-term staff. You know, we're a pizza place, but we've been a lot more than a pizza place over the years.
Good evening, Vermilion Restaurant. This is Michael speaking. I'm here.
Meantime, in Chicago, another woman was trying to figure out how to keep her restaurant afloat after 17 years.
It has completely decimated us. It's brought us to our knees. I take that back, because we are not on our knees. All of us are fighting in some way, shape, or the other. But so many of us have closed already. And the predictions are that well over 80% of us will close by the middle of next year if we don't get relief from the government.
So Rohini Day, owner of Vermilion, organized. She invited 15 other women restaurateurs in the area to have discussions online where they could hash out ideas, get to know each other better, and share resources and contacts, calling it Let's Talk.
It's been an immense source of strength to all of us.
The informal moral support group eventually ballooned to 250 women restaurateurs in 10 cities, including Gresser in D.C. They coordinate tasting menus, lobby for federal relief, and help each other through negotiations. Competitors have become collaborators, reaching many more customers than they would have individually.
We are all in dire straits, but we are here to help each other and make the size of the pie bigger by being unified.
They're hoping Congress approves $120 billion in funding for independent restaurants. Folded into the HEROES Act, the Bipartisan Restaurants Act passed in the House but stalled in the Senate.
We are caught in the middle. And to us, that is absolutely unacceptable, because had we been the airlines, where we were just an oligopoly or a monopoly of two or three massive players, then legislation would have been much more rapid.
One day we were open, and literally 2 days later, we were shut down. So it was pretty intense for us.
The previous PPP loan from the federal government, combined with the balmy Southern California weather and spacious patio, is what allowed another Let's Talk member, Dina Sampson, to keep alive her trendy Los Angeles eatery, Rosa Blue. But that funding was intended to get these restaurants through a couple of months. Now, 9 months into the pandemic, the thought of having to furlough her employees again and the ripple effects of another closure is hard to take.
It's the farmers, it's the wineries, it's the beer makers, it's the liquor makers, it's the linen people, it's the people that clean the restaurant, you know? I mean, oh, it's endless, the number of people that are affected.
Of the more than 20 million jobs lost in April at the start of the pandemic, one in four of them were in bars and restaurants, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
We have a team that's been here a really long time, and so we kind of pivoted to help feed them, because who knew when they were going to get their next check, because, you know, the unemployment system was so, you know, inundated with requests.
With surplus food from vendors, in addition to feeding her team, Sampson also fed 150 hospice families a week and foster care families.
What I was thinking was, it's been very gratifying.
Women trying to keep a business alive and balance that with the demands of homeschooling and childcare is a hard one to strike, which is why having this support system is invaluable.
I started inviting my friends, and my friends started inviting their friends, and it was surprising to me, actually, how many female owners there were that I hadn't really heard about yet.
I'm very hopeful.
Through the heartache and the stress, and facing the possibility that their beloved businesses might not recover, a break in the clouds from other women who have knowledge and a willingness to share it.
That's the one, like, kind of shining moment of it all, is that I think we finally came together as an industry.
Rutabe Shabazi, News Nation.